مولانا أشرف، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
A very interesting book you've selected for this public holiday, looking at history and more local history and that of the Muslim community in Strand, Mawlana.
Yes, Mawlana, this book titled The Strand Muslim Community, 1822 to 1966, An Historical Overview, is written by a brother by the name of Ibrahim Roda and Mawlana Yusuf Karan. The late Mawlana Yusuf Karan and Professor Doria Daniels have also contributed to the book. Ibrahim Roda is an interesting person. I had the opportunity to meet him two or three weeks ago, and he is a teacher, a former teacher, retired now, and he served as the principal of the Strand Muslim Primary School. And he tells his own story, and he explains that he started researching the history of the Muslims in Strand after he retired from teaching. And at the age of 68, he decided to formalize his study in some way, and he registered for a master's degree at the University of Western Cape. And then they allowed him, without any prior degrees, to study. And not only that, the National Research Foundation provided him with a scholarship for his studies. And out of that study, then came this book, titled The Strand Muslim Community, 1822 to 1966. The book, alhamdulillah, has been published and well received by the community when the book was launched at the local town hall. You know, the entire hall was full. People are very excited about the fact that the history has now been somehow preserved. And in this book, what the author does, Ibrahim Roda does, is that he explores the diverse views regarding the origin of the Muslim community in the Strand. You know, there are sometimes some contesting views as to how the community was established, who were the first people in the community, etc., how the community became settled in this area of Mostert Bay. He then also looks at the missionary efforts to convert the children of the Muslim fishermen. They were predominantly fishermen there, to Christianity. And he looks at those efforts in what is called Hottentots Holland. In the next chapter, he examines some of the important Islamic leaders who served the community between 1838 and 1931. He looks at three important imams of the area and tries to somehow sketch briefly their lives. They were very influential people, we see, and very charismatic in the leadership of the community. After discussing all these imams, including Maulana Yusuf Karan, mention is made of him and his contribution, and a number of other important people in the area, he looks at the areas that were legally or rather occupied under what is called at that time the quintrent grants that were given, and the land that was owned there, and some of the land that was lost by the Muslim community afterwards. He examines the illegal occupation of Crown land for 60 years. He looks at the role of women in the community, and eventually we all know the devastating effects of the Group Areas Act that has affected Muslim communities in our own province here as well over time. The previous publications that we have on the history of Muslims in the Cape have focused mainly on masjids and the religious leaders. But this book is more comprehensive. It looks at the fishermen community there, their way of life, the role of women who had to sometimes really go through difficult times when it was lean months what they call the scarce manner of fishing, there to stretch the budget as best as they could to provide for their families. He looks at some of the influences of the Christian churches and mentions some of the Christian churches in the area as well. And he tries to trace genetically the background of the people. He shows that the population there had many forebears. There were Indonesians, some were slaves, some were Khoi Khoi, some even had the influence of Indian immigrants, and also there's in few fusions of Caucasian blood also in their genealogy. And Rhoda himself is a person very interested in genealogy. He is a founder member of the Cape Family Research Forum, and he has painstakingly investigated the intricate family relationships that are there. So you see a whole chapters dedicated to family names and the origins, and he looks at names that exist in the community, names that no longer exist in the community that used to be there, and he dedicates the entire chapter 7 to that. The book concludes with there's a chapter on the secular education and looks at the influence of some of the schools that were run by the Methodists, some of the schools that were run by the Dutch Reformed Church, and how the first Muslim school was established in 1926, the Strand Muslim School, and the contribution of some of the people there, and he tries to document some of the first matriculants in the community, and he mentions again the Maulana Karan's, late Maulana Karan's name, and he also looks at some of the first male teachers and the first matriculants in the community. There's a chapter devoted to the promotion of Islamic education and some of the important figures that championed the cause of Islamic education in the area. And then there's an entire chapter devoted to women and their influence in the community and their contribution to the community. Finally, he ends with a note on the Group Areas Act of 1950 and what happened there. We know that in part of the Strand was declared slums, and the inhabitants were relocated to an area called Rusthof. Here, the housing quality was poor. Sometimes there were no ceilings, there was no plumbing even. But despite the adversity, and this is what he tries to show in this book, the community prevailed and it prospered. He says that this type of endurance of the community needs to be recorded and needs to be appreciated. So I think, Maulana, a very, very interesting book. It also asks the question that what is being done about recording community history in the rest of the country. Alhamdulillah, in the Cape we see a lot of work being done. Many of the ulama, they have been, biographies have been written about them, there's a substantive amount of interest in recording the history of the Cape, perhaps because it is older, but nevertheless, in recent times, 2 weeks ago, we reviewed a book on the ulama and their contribution in KwaZulu-Natal, the book written by Maulana Yunus Osman. But unfortunately, we have very little, Maulana, that has been written in the so-called old Transvaal area. Even about the various masajid and the various masjid committees that were established and the jamaats that were established in this area. And somebody needs to take up, I think, this task. And perhaps the jamaats themselves need to record their own history, because in every small town, almost in the outlying areas, there was always a masjid and a masjid committee that ran the affairs there. And I think that history needs to somehow be captured before we lose a generation that don't have that information anymore.
Interesting indeed. Maulana, how many pages is this book?
Maulana, this book here is let me just check, it's 200 and almost 256 pages, I think, 260 pages. And the book costs 150 rand, but all the proceeds from this book goes to a trust that looks after and benefits the widows of imams and the widows of ulama and madrasa teachers who have for a long time served the community. So the money goes back to the community. I think this is very noble that the author has done this, man.
MashaAllah.
And it can be obtained from? It's obtainable directly from the author. It's self-published. It can be obtainable from Brother Ibrahim Roda, and he can be contacted at 021-842-2092. I repeat, 021-842-2092, or on his cell phone, 083-582-7722.
Okay, Murana.
083582-7722.
Jazakumullah for those details, Murana. Much appreciated. We hope to speak to you next week, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.